Sarah Warmby, Victorian police say they have quelled a disturbance at the Youth Justice Centre at Parkville in Melbourne overnight. A police spokeswoman says officers were called to the centre on Park Street about 8 last night. She says a number of units had remained at the scene overnight, including the Critical Incident Response Team, Riot Police and the Dog Squad. The latest disturbance follows a series of incidents at Victorian Youth Justice facilities, including a riot at Parkville in mid-November, in which around 30 inmates trashed their cells. A woman has been charged over a terrifying axe attack at a service station in Sydney's Inner West that injured 2 people. The horrific alleged rampage left a 43-year-old woman with a fractured skull and a man seriously injured. Sharon Hacker was buying milk at Stanmore Road in Enmore at around 2:25 on Saturday morning when she crossed paths with a young woman brandishing an axe.
And she just came in full force and swung and struck the man in across the face, and then turned immediately around to me and again with both hands came through and struck me with the axe at the back of the head, and then as I was falling forward came in again and came down and struck me again.
The woman arrested was taken to St Vincent's Hospital for assessment under police guard. She was later charged with wounding a person intending to cause grievous bodily harm. The woman was refused bail to front Parramatta Bail Court today. Organisers insist Summernats is a safe event despite a man dying after falling from the back of a ute while cruising in Canberra. Luke Newsom from Queensland suffered fatal injuries when he fell from a car along the cruise route at Exhibition Park on Thursday afternoon. It's the first death in the event's 30-year history and is being investigated by police. A father and his 2 young sons who went missing in regional Western Australia have been found safe and sound. 38-year-old Marcus Flaxman and his 2 sons aged 7 and 5 were located safe and well last night. The trio were reported missing after they failed to turn up at a family residence in Millbridge on Friday night. Overseas, a massive bomb has been detonated in the northern Syrian town of Azaz, killing at least 43 people and wounding many more. The BBC's Sebastian Usher has more.
The bomb devastated a busy market in the border town. It's the heaviest casualty toll in a single incident since the latest nationwide ceasefire in Syria started last week. Azaz is held by Turkish-backed rebels. It was the epicentre last year of a ferocious battle between competing factions. The Turkish government wanted to ensure that neither the Islamic State group nor Kurdish rebels took control of it. In recent months, the town has been hit by several similar bomb attacks, which IS appears to have carried out. Many rebels and civilians have recently taken refuge in the town after eastern Aleppo was retaken by government forces.
And Sri Lankan police have used water cannons to try to break up violent clashes between government supporters and villagers marching against what they say is a plan to take over private land for an industrial zone in which China will have a major stake. This is Air News. Nathan Lyon and Steve O'Keefe have spun Australia to a 220-run win over Pakistan in the SCG test, with Steve Smith's side completing a 3-0 series sweep. Pakistan began the final day at 1 for 55, still needing 410 more runs for an unlikely victory, but the team was bowled out for 244 before tea. O'Keefe says he's thrilled to have been part of the team.
The 4th test and the first win, so it hasn't really sunk in yet, but it's been a great performance by the boys. I think set up really well by the batters. And the way that we bowled in that first innings. It was great to be a part of it, great to be involved and great to contribute with a couple of wickets.
And in the Big Bash, the Melbourne Stars claimed a 46-run win over the Renegades last night at Docklands. In the A-League, Melbourne Victory has notched its 5th win with a 2-0 defeat of Adelaide United at Hindmarsh Stadium. Meanwhile, Wayne Brown might have missed the end of Newcastle's thrilling 3-2 A-League victory over Brisbane Roar, but it's unlikely the English midfielder will mind too much. Brown made a hasty exit from yesterday's match at Suncorp Stadium at halftime when news filtered through that his wife was in labour a week before she was due to give birth. With coach Mark Jones's blessing, as soon as he returned to the sheds, Brown packed his bags, ordered a taxi and headed straight to Brisbane Airport for a flight home. And the Sydney Kings have been beaten by the Perth Wildcats 80-74 in the NBL. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
The weather today in Sydney town, partly cloudy, light winds becoming northeasterly, 25 to 35 kilometres in the middle of the day, then becoming light in the late evening. A maximum of 29 degrees in Sydney town. Usually this is where I say, Ray, what about at Curl Curl and Cowra? But right now I say, Dave Stanley, good morning. What about Curl Curl and Cowra.
Curl Curl and Cowra.
Mm.
Good morning, everyone. Great to be with you. And
you've got no idea what I'm talking about.
I've got no idea.
Okay.
Because so, I thought you were taking the lead. You're off to a fly here.
Yeah, all right. I've just dumped you in it, haven't I? All right. In Curl Curl, would you believe, same as Sydney, 29 degrees, but in Cowra, partly cloudy today, and a maximum of 37 degrees.
37.
Be careful out there at the races today.
Well, Lionel, our Everything Must Go sale is about to go.
No, it isn't, Mum. It's still all go.
There's more?
Yes, more. Still more TVs, fridges, washers, more vacuums, aircons, coffee machines. They all must go at Bingley.
I could go a coffee.
There's no time for coffee, Mum. Everything's got to go.
But only for a few more days.
Everything in our online catalogue at bingley.com.au.
It ends on January 8th.
The Everything Must Go sale, last days at Bingley.
Excludes Asco and Miller.
Inglis Classic is firmly in the spotlight. In 2016, Inglis Classic has produced 19 individual stakes winners, including 5 at Group 1 level, such as Yankee Rose, I Am a Star, and Extreme Choice. 600 yearlings across 3 days, and new to 2017, the Gold Raband session on Saturday night. Join us on the 11th to 13th of February at Newmarket, Sydney. Inglis Classic catalogue at inglis.com.au.
Majestic, and the judgment of history will surely be that she was in a class of her own.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough break. Why? Because Brian makes the play. It's over. And the Cubs have finally won it all. It's 7-10.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Yeah, well, that's the way to start the new year, isn't it? That's a lie. Ray Thomas is not the co-host today. It is Dave Stanley, tab.com.au's yep. Dave Stanley in the... Welcome, mate.
Good morning, Jim. Yeah, good morning, everyone. Good to be here. I'm pretty excited, up and about.
Can we just confirm you haven't been to the dentist of late?
No, mate. No, dentists. No dentists. Mouth is in full operation this morning. I tell you what, that I don't think I'll ever live that down, that dentist from Big Sports Breakfast.
I don't believe you will, no.
So,
is it a YouTube sensation yet?
Well, you know, out in the public, when people are sort of referring to you with the lisp, you know, no, but it was good fun.
In many ways, in a short space of time, you became a cult hero, and we might have more about that through the course of the program. So, speaking of the program, yes, it's back. Welcome to 2017. We're excited about it. Ray, really got to question his work ethic, that guy. Where is he? It's a very good question. He's in Fiji, sunning himself beside a pool, no doubt, at this time. I think he's about 4 hours in front, aren't they, Fiji? 2 hours, are they? Maybe not yet. But, you know, he might be just getting home. Ray Thomas, knowing the hours that he keeps. So Ray and Tanya are having a bit of a break, and we completely understand that, and I hope they're having a great time. In the meantime, we've got a program to run here, Davey. We've got our race replays. Despite the fact Ray's not here, it's still in. Getting this segment sponsored soon. Leo Schlink will be live from Doha, where Novak Djokovic has defeated Andy Murray in the final over there. So good start to the year for Novak Djokovic, beating Andy Murray, who had a long, long run of without a loss. Peter Snowden, from the world of horse racing, had a very good winner yesterday, Gold Symphony.
Mm, was very good.
Good ride, too, from Kieran McAvoy.
100%.
And we'll have a chat with Glenn Schofield, speaking of good rides, on Del Cielo.
Mm. Exciting prospect, very exciting prospect.
Too good for the horses up against yesterday. And going for Glenn, I think the words were, he won effortlessly.
Mm. And the thing is that just a different scenery up there at Newcastle with Chris Lees, and we'll talk more about that later. But and Chris obviously keeping the horse to sprint distances.
Yes.
It's exciting to see what it does autumn, winter.
Andy Pascalidis from the world of football. We've had some A-League results. Newcastle Jets up into sixth spot on the A-League table after making, I think, the first loss in over 12 months for the Brisbane Roar at home. And we've got some big FA Cup results too coming out. Of course, no EPL this weekend. So Andy Pascalidis will talk us through that. Have you heard about the Event Cinemas quiz at all?
No, but I'm curious.
Debacle is perhaps the best way to describe the way they've been run over the last 12 months. Well, hopefully they're getting off to a much better start in 2017. We've got the double pass, courtesy of VMAX Theatres at Parramatta.
Is that the quiz that no one loses? It's very, very hard to lose the quiz?
No. It's very competitive between myself and Ray.
Ah, right.
Even though our knowledge or lack thereof has nothing to do with the way the people win, but we still be very competitive. We want our contestants to win. And it's a great prize too. It's a double pass today to the VMAX Theatres. You can use them anywhere throughout New South Wales for the Event Cinemas. And it's all courtesy of Event Cinemas at Parramatta. That's Prakash and the team out there. They're a fantastic job. I don't know whether you know, but they were recently voted best cinema in the Southern Hemisphere, which is an outstanding effort. So congratulations to Prakash and the team. Let's hope they don't rest on their laurels.
No.
2017, I mean, we don't want them to get carried away. And it's the little thing, the little processes that you have to go through, making sure that the popcorn machine is there and it's okay. The Maltesers are ready to go. And just chilled, just a little bit below room temperature.
An avid moviegoer. You know what's doing.
It's been, given the fact I've got three young kids, it's been decades since I've been to the movies. But anyway, we're working on that. We'll get our scratchings as well for today's racing. We're going to have a chat with Vin Cox. He's the managing director of the Magic Millions. It's just growing and growing and growing. He's been there, I think he's coming up to 6 years since Gerry Harvey tapped him on the shoulder and said, "We want you to come and run this." And it's the second year of the $10 million race day. So it's such a huge day there, and that'll be next Saturday up there on the Gold Coast. We'll have a chat to a colleague of yours, Trent Lansdale, from tab.com.au. Trent will tell us what he got up to over the course of the Christmas New Year period. That could take a long time.
He's a busy man, Trent. He never sleeps.
Yeah, I heard.
Never sleeps.
I heard he's come into work a couple of times in the same gear that he was spotted in the races the day before.
He can put in young Trent.
All right, we'll look forward to that. Paul Gow will be along with us. The SBS Tournament of Champions at the moment, and then, of course, there's a massive year of golf. The world number one player is an Australian, and he's got some new gear too. He's turning out in some Nike clobber, so we'll have a chat to Gowie about what the year might hold for him and what the year might hold for a number of other players on the tour. Emily Lees is a star with the Sydney Sixers in the Rebel WBBL. Mm. Now, this has just been an incredible story, Dave, what they've done. It's just their second year, and remember, the Thunder are the defending champs, but they've got a big game against the Thunder, the Sixers, on it's the same day as the men play at the SCG. It's a doubleheader. The TV audiences have spiked. They're unbelievable last year. They've gone up even further for the WBBL, so they've become real sporting celebrities. The Sixers have got two stars in Elisa Healy and Elise Perry. Do good things for them, but Emily's a bit of a star in her own right, so we'll have a chat to her. And speaking of star in their own right in the SCG, Mickey Edwards. You ever heard of Mickey Edwards before?
No. Had seen his face pop up in the Manly Daily a few times.
You live in the Manly area, do you?
But used to.
Oh, okay.
Frequent the Manly area, and you get the Manly Daily and see the names pop up. But must admit, was skimming over.
Yeah.
But that was outstanding to see it, and very Australian, isn't it?
Was it the hair?
Yeah, I think just the casual, he was just out there for a run.
It was sort of like, mate, you look so out of place. Who on earth, have they dragged you from the concourse of the Barongal Stand? That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
But he did a good job, fielded a couple of balls, and then there was overwhelming boo when David Warner, man of the match and a superstar of Australian cricket, comes back on the field.
Yeah, it would only happen here, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, it would only happen here. So just on that, the Test match, Australia win in a clean sweep by 220 runs. Dave Warner, man of the match, unbelievable century before lunch. Was lucky enough to be out there on the day to see it. And then was there when he scored his 50 in record time. Record number of balls, fastest by an Australian, second fastest in the history of Test cricket. So he was a deserved man of the match. Man of the series,
Stephen.
No one's going to argue with that. 441 runs at just a tick over 110. Yeah. And it's interesting when someone gets out for 59, the comment was made yesterday in the newspaper, when someone gets out for 59 and it drags their average down, which is the situation for Steve Smith at the moment. So he was a very worthy man of the series winner. Four straight victories now for the Australian side, mm-hmm. Dave, which has been, you know, following the crisis of Hobart.
Yes.
Now they've had the four straight victories, but in many ways, everyone's still very, very nervous because you've got four tests against India coming up.
And that's what I'm just wondering. Are we sort of falling into a false pretense that we've, you know, had this wonderful series against Pakistan, who at some times did seem to lose the plot in the middle, but then on other occasions, they must be a very frustrating team to follow if you're a Pakistani cricket follower, because you can see that there's brilliance there and they can begin.
Absolutely.
But it just doesn't all click together. And one day it is. Well, I mean, we've seen it in the past. We saw it last year when they defeated England.
In England. That's right.
And they were doing the push-ups and everyone went, how good's this? But they're just so... Yeah.
The difference between their best performance and their worst performance is huge.
It's a bit like the New Zealand Warriors. If you're a Warriors supporter... Oh.
Hang on. It's actually not a bad analogy. But a Warriors fan...
Yeah. Would obviously have that same roller coaster.
Yeah.
Because you know that they can do it, but they just can't click... It all can't click together.
The Warriors fans, they'll be on that roller coaster again this year. 100%. They'll be back on it. Someone makes a really good point, because they made a heap of changes to the Australian selectors, and they brought in new people, and largely it's been successful. A couple of, you know, Nick Maddison's not in the test side anymore, but a mate of mine who watches cricket very closely, he said, think about this. Callum Ferguson comes in the first test, and he's batting at 4 for 8. Mm. And he gets run out by a direct hit from a reserve wicketkeeper. Hilton Cartwright comes in to bat in his first test at 4 for 386.
Yeah.
And survives a missed stumping and getting dropped at first slip. It's a funny old game. So that comes in from Paul. And it is, isn't it? The sliding doors of Callum Ferguson getting run out from a direct hit in a debacle of a test match for Australia. And then you get this opportunity where, you know, Pete Hanscom comes in and does very well. But Pete Hanscom even made the point, I played a miss to my first ball. If I nick it, I may not get another test match. Mm. You know, it's amazing how that can roll. But anyway, we'll take your thoughts on the cricket. Another big BBL game last night. The Renegades not good enough against the Stars, 7 for 200. Kevin Peterson, 73 off 46. Rob Quiney, 51 off 30. And then in response, 9 for 154, the Renegades. Cameron White, the only man to really make an impact. 42,500. Huge crowd.
Mm.
And there's going to be similar numbers at the Thunder versus the Sixers match at the SCG coming up this Saturday night. Interestingly, there'll be a Sydney FC game. There might be against the Wanderers. That might be 40,000 there as well. So 80,000 in the precinct. Hope it can handle that.
Yep.
Okay. And the other thing that we've been covering off here too, some of those tennis results that I mentioned. Novak Djokovic having a win over Andy Murray. And of course, in the Hopman Cup, France have defeated the USA in the final of the Hopman Cup. So we'll get more of that with Leo Schlink a little bit later on in the program. After the break, though, and we've got to take a break now.
Yes.
We've got sponsored commitments to meet, David. After the break, we'll be releasing our talk topic. And I think it's going to create some stir.
Okay.
Create a bit. We might even... I think we've got Sports Year Diaries to give away, too. People come up with good nominations. Sports Year Diary. So there's a little tease. It is... 18 minutes past 6. It's the Big Sports Breakfast. It's the weekend. It's Dave Stanley and Jimmy.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life? If this sounds like you, then you should give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about combining your unsecured debts into just one weekly repayment tailored to your budget. That's a solution working for you. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids' room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. I don't know why she does this, and now producer Jeremy's saying that Judy, our listener, who sends in an SMS quite often being disparaging of me and trying to console poor Ray about having to work with me. Judy says I get in a bad mood all the time, Dave. Little does Judy know, David, that it's Ray Thomas that puts me in the bad mood.
I'm actually a bit concerned Judy sent that now because everything was hunky-dory and now Judy sort of put me on... I'm actually deciding to slide a little bit further away.
You'll be right.
Yeah.
Good luck with Jimmy, Dave. Judy. See, there's no need for that, Judy. The start of a new year, I thought we can start with the slate clean. But apparently that's not the case. Anyway, what we are going to do is start with our talk topic of today, and that is on the back of Mickey Edwards...
Mm-hmm.
Becoming what I would only describe as a cult hero.
Yep.
Out there at the SCG yesterday. Your favourite cult heroes in sport. Your favourite cult heroes throughout the history of sport. Every code has got them.
Has got one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's your favourite?
Cult hero?
Cult hero.
There's the TV Ted Ellery. TV Ted Ellery from the Amco Cup. Western Division's great run towards the Anco Cup of 1974.
I wasn't even born.
I know, I understand.
I'll have to use... Is he on YouTube?
He would be. TV yep. Ted, yeah. I think he's passed away, actually. I was reading Ian Hedges' book about that time in rugby league history. Yeah, I think TV Ted's passed away. But another one, Merv Hughes.
Yep.
Merv Hughes was a cult hero. When he starts doing the stretching down there in front of Bay 30, he had no idea what was going on behind him until I think it was Dean Jones said to him, he said, what are they all going on about? He said, mate, they're all copying you. Every time you do one of those stretches, they're all copying you. Now, he was a cult hero.
This is a bit left field. What about Laurie Nichols? Remember the shadow boxer?
Absolutely.
Down on the sideline.
Absolutely.
I just remember as a kid, you know, tuning into, it would have been Fox Sports back in those days when we had the pay TV first put on, and here's Laurie down on the
sideline. Absolutely.
Side,
and he'd been doing that for years.
Yeah.
You know, I saw him dressed when I was playing at the Roosters. He was friends with Arthur Beetson, and he was a wool classer by trade.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he used to live out in the Blue Mountains, and he'd get the train in every time for a game. Yeah, absolutely. And I saw him at a game that the Roosters were playing and Balmain weren't playing at it, and he came to say hello to Arthur Beetson. He was dressed in a suit and tie. I thought, hang on a minute, isn't that the guy who's in that singlet on the side of on the sideline? It certainly was, but he just threw on the singlet, did all the
yeah, I'll just never forget that.
Yeah, and he did it on the 1982 Kangaroo Tour. He was in the stands in his singlet. He was freezing in the stands in the singlet when Wayne Pearce had a breakout tour in 1982 on the Kangaroo Tour. And he was in there shadow boxing in the stands, freezing cold. The English couldn't be, all right, lad, what are you doing?
We need more characters like that. That would be, that's something that I'll never forget. I wonder what the kids today...
Who's your cult heroes, besides Mickey Edwards?
Yeah. Who are the kids today going to remember when they're in 20 and 30 years?
Well, Nathan Lyon, somehow.
Nice, Gary.
Nice.
This social media, I mean, that just started from, I was overseas... and jumped on Facebook, Twitter, and this audio of Nice Gary going for an hour. If anyone wants to go on YouTube, you can actually type in Nice Gary, and someone has made an hour of just repeated Nice Gary over and over. And it's just become... I was at the cricket. Everyone was just up and about for Nathan Lyon.
Yeah.
Even when he started doing the stretches and warm-ups, the cheers and... So,
well, at the MCG, they had a social media campaign that they said they were going to have a massive cheer after his second ball or his third ball or something
okay.
of the test match. Anyway, he got a wicket with his first ball. So they went, they cheered anyway, obviously. But I don't know where it is.
What about this one? Yeah. Sexy Eyes from Mudgee, John Daly.
John Daly, of course. Two-time...
Here we go.
Two-time major winner.
Remember he threw the clubs in the pool, in the drink up at Coolum? That was at Coolum, I remember that. He
had about five balls in there too, didn't he?
He wasn't happy.
And he walked off the course.
Yes, that's right.
He walked off the course.
It was a big draw card. Big draw card. And he sort of just obviously... That was the back end of his, obviously, career. But yeah. In his prime, I wasn't lucky enough to see him play live or for that fact, on the television. But from watching on YouTube and when you see those ESPN... Yeah. Reruns of...
I think they've done an ESPN 30 for 30 on John Daly.
Have they?
I think so.
That would be good viewing.
Yeah, yeah. There's the great story of Tiger Woods practicing on the 18th below the clubhouse and chipping, practicing. John Daly was up on the balcony and he said, "Tiger, come up here and have a beer." And Tiger said to him, "John, if I had your talent, I would."
Too good.
Yeah. And it gave you an insight into John Daly and it gave you insight into Tiger Woods. So, we're looking for your cult heroes. We've got some Sports Year Diaries to give away, sportsyear.com.au, our great sponsors here. And we're only a few days into 2017. But, of course, by the time you get them from us, it may well be March. But we'll do our best. Jimmy, it's great that you've got Drew Carey co-hosting this morning.
But someone's the budgets have gone up, so...
We've expanded the budgets.
Expanded.
Can we get him? What about the behind-the-scenes contractual negotiations that we had? Producer Jeremy trying to get hold of you. Yeah, locked in negotiations right until the 11th hour, I believe.
Yeah, no, look, it was tough. It all came down to the... We've got some pies and stuff on this morning, don't we? I've been told.
We'll have pies.
Some sort of breakfast. That was the...
Aren't you on the man shake?
Yeah, still going with that. Although, I must admit, when you go to Ireland and you start downing Guinnesses...
Right.
We've got to get back into it. Got to get on those sandhill runs, yourself.
Oh, please. 1353 53 is the open line number. Hey, boys, Warwick Kappa in the AFL. Well, it lent itself a bit to that AFL, didn't it, with their one-on-one stuff? Mark Jacko Jackson was another one from the world of AFL. Anyway, back to this. Whose Line is one of my favourite shows? This is what Dave from Wattlegrove is. That's, of course, Drew Carey hosts.
Yeah.
Please tell me he's been to the dentist prior to the show. Well, he hasn't.
No, the teeth are in working order today.
It's fantastic. Looking forward to the first quiz of the year. Dave will only add to the quality. Happy New Year. Cheers, Dave from Wattlegrove. Good on you, Dave.
Thank you, mate.
Yeah.
I actually sent that myself, so...
You're living at Wattlegrove.
Yeah, I just thought I'd pick a new suburb. I must admit, this is interesting. Like we're talking about all these cult heroes from the past. Mm. Do you think that's a concern with sport these days, that we don't have sort of cult heroes that, because these teams change so much all the time? Like you mentioned Callum Ferguson, he's in and he's out.
Yeah.
Because we have, right across the board, such high, it's high competition to get into these teams... So these cult heroes...
It was no less competitive back in the day.
Yeah,
I will say that the thing that has taken the cult heroes out of it is the homogenisation of that by either the governing body, be it the NRL, the AFL, Cricket Australia or whatever, or by the coaches, and then by extension then the media managers. Oh, Whereas, we're crying out for those people who are a little bit different. Look at Nick Cummins. From the world of rugby. He's probably a cult hero as well. He's now doing his own ads for undies.
I must admit, I don't get the undie ad. But look, wonderful product.
But the only reason he got that was because his post-game interviews were just off the charts. The lack of cult heroes might be a concern. But they were certainly there in the past. You can give us your thoughts on it. The handyman from French's Forest. The Falcon, Mario Fenwick. He was a cult hero. Absolutely. You're a Brisbane boy from the time at the Crushers.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah? Yeah, that's when he first got the Falcon. He played it 15 years in the NRL, and his nickname was Test Match the whole time, and then got hit in the head by a ball. So it was Falcon from that. And it transcends rugby league. It goes across all codes, that one. You get hit in the head, it's called a Falcon.
That's it.
It's called a Falcon. Morning, boys. How about Tommy Radonikis? Cheers, Desperate Des. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Tough as teak, Tom Radonikis. He threw Stevie Mortimer's bags out the window because he'd been named at halfback. And Tom was on the bench. And they were roommates. That is worthy of cult hero status. 1353 is the open line number. Get us on the SMS as well. 0419 SMS BSB. That's 0419 767 272. And you can get us on the tweets as well at Big Sports WEND. At Big Sports WEND. Break for the news and back with more.
Sarah Warmby. Victorian police say they have quelled a disturbance at the Youth Justice Centre at Parkville in Melbourne overnight. A police spokeswoman says officers were called to the centre on Park Street about 8 last night. She says a number of units had remained at the scene overnight, including the Critical Incident Response Team, Riot Police and the Dog Squad. The latest disturbance follows a series of incidents at Victorian Youth Justice facilities, including a riot at Parkville in mid-November in which around 30 inmates trashed their cells. A woman has been charged over a terrifying axe attack at a service station in Sydney's inner west that injured two people. The horrific alleged rampage left a 43-year-old woman with a fractured skull and a man seriously injured. Sharon Hacker was buying milk at Stanmore Road in Enmore at around 2:25 on Saturday morning when she crossed paths with a young woman brandishing an axe.
Then she just came in full force and swung and struck the man in the cross the face and then turned immediately around to me and again with both hands came through and struck me with the axe at the back of the head and then as I was falling forward came in again and came down and struck me again.
The woman arrested was taken to St Vincent's Hospital for assessment under police guard. She was later charged with wounding a person intending to cause grievous bodily harm. The woman was refused bail to front Parramatta Bail Court today. Organisers insist Summernats is a safe event despite a man dying after falling from the back of a ute while cruising in Canberra. Luke Newsom from Queensland suffered fatal injuries when he fell from a car along the cruise route at Exhibition Park on Thursday afternoon. It's the first death in the event's 30-year history and is being investigated by police. A father and his two young sons who went missing in regional Western Australia have been found safe and sound. 38-year-old Marcus Flaxman and his two sons aged 7 and 5 were located safe and well last night. The trio were reported missing after they failed to turn up at a family residence in Millbridge on Friday night. Overseas, a massive bomb has been detonated in the northern Syrian town of Azaz, killing at least 43 people and wounding many more. The BBC's Sebastian Usher has more.
The bomb devastated a busy market in the border town. It's the heaviest casualty toll in a single incident since the latest nationwide ceasefire in Syria started last week. Azaz is held by Turkish-backed rebels. It was the epicentre last year of a ferocious battle between competing factions. The Turkish government wanted to ensure that neither the Islamic State group nor Kurdish rebels took control of it. In recent months, the town has been hit by several similar bomb attacks, which IS appears to have carried out. Many rebels and civilians have recently taken refuge in the town after eastern Aleppo was retaken by government forces.
And Sri Lankan police have used water cannons to try to break up violent clashes between government supporters and villagers marching against what they say is a plan to take over private land for an industrial zone in which China will have a major stake. This is Air News. Nathan Lyon and Steve O'Keefe have spun Australia to a 220-run win over Pakistan in the SCG test, with Steve Smith's side completing a 3-0 series sweep. Pakistan began the final day at 1 for 55, still needing 410 more runs for an unlikely victory, but the team was bowled out for 244 before tea. O'Keefe says he's thrilled to have been part of the team.
The fourth test and the first win, so it hasn't really sunk in yet, but it's been a great performance by the boys. I think set up really well by the batters and the way that we bowled in that first innings. It was great to be a part of it, great to be involved and great to contribute with a couple of wickets.
And in the Big Bash, the Melbourne Stars claimed a 46-run win over the Renegades last night at Docklands. In the A-League, Melbourne Victory has notched its fifth win with a 2-0 defeat of Adelaide United at Hindmarsh Stadium. Meanwhile, Wayne Brown might have missed the end of Newcastle's thrilling 3-2 A-League victory over Brisbane Roar, but it's unlikely the English midfielder will mind too much. Brown made a hasty exit from yesterday's match at Suncorp Stadium at halftime when news filtered through that his wife was in in labour a week before she was due to give birth. With coach Mark Jones's blessing, as soon as he returned to the sheds, Brown packed his bags, ordered a taxi and headed straight to Brisbane Airport for a flight home. And the Sydney Kings have been beaten by the Perth Wildcats 80-74 in the NBL. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
And the weather in Sydney, early fog patches in the outer west, mostly sunny morning though, with cloud increasing during the day. Some light winds becoming northeasterly, 25 to 35 in the middle of the day, and then becoming light in the late evening, a max of 29. Jimmy, what about the weather in Griffith and Greystanes?
Greystanes, it'll be hotter today than in the city, and it's going to be a maximum of 34 there. But what about this, Davey? You go out west, Griffith in the Riverina, hot, partly cloudy, a maximum temperature today, 39 degrees. Jeez. So slip, slop, slap out at Griffith.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Can I have a moment of your time? Just a single second so you see that indeed we'll be...
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Jimmy, the Facebook plan at the MCG was to all stand up and call out, "Nice, Gary!" after his third ball. This is talking about Nathan Lyon. It was spoiled because he took a wicket with his third ball, so the whole crowd was cheering anyway. So there you go. Oh, sorry for getting a wicket, said Nathan Lyon. But there you go. So, yes, Nathan Lyon, a cult hero. We're looking for your cult heroes. One of the cult heroes on this program is the race replays, Davey.
You've heard about these race replays.
Yeah.
I must admit, I'm a bit nervous because when you've got a bloke like RT, Ray Thomas, usually running the segment... Yeah. I must admit, I've extremely large shoes to fill.
Maybe you could do in the voice of Ray Thomas.
No, no.
No, okay, all right. That's for later, isn't it?
Later on.
We all do our Ray Thomas impersonation.
No, Jimmy, come on. We've got to get on with the show. 6:36. Now, we're gonna jump in and do these?
Absolutely we are.
I was forced to do that, by the way. If Ray is listening, all that gets back to Ray.
I
felt threatened.
Are you quaking in your boots?
I felt threatened by
the hand of Ray Thomas
to do that.
Superstar trainer John Hawkes will be shooting for the stars.
He's a great man. One of the best blokes I've ever met in my life. So he's
far too good a bloke to be a journo, let alone a racing journo.
He is.
Anyway.
Now,
yes,
we're going to jump into it. We'll go through a couple of races today, but the first race at Warwick Farm yesterday was, it was a big upset. We might see a Group 1 horse. Well, David Payne thinks we're going to see a Group 1 horse in the making. Colesberg, Single Bullet was the raging favourite. Was open 2.10 on Wednesday, and several large bets rolled in, and it was very short price. Got into $1.55, but as we head to the replay, well, it's all this horse on the outside.
Radiant Choice just in front of Single Bullet, and Dunnett's on the outside. Further back to Colesberg, Call Me Trouble, and Charlie Chap on the rails. They straighten now. Radiant Choice and Single Bullet. Mellum now pulls the trigger on Single Bullet, and he heads off Radiant Choice. Colesberg is coming down the outside. Single Bullet in front. He's running low, and Colesberg draws up on the outside. Colesberg goes to Single Bullet, and Colesberg gets away to win it by a half length. Two Single Bullet. Third, I'm not sure there. Call Me Trouble.
Colesberg did get up in the upset and Single Bullet. As a result of that now, not going to the Magic Millions. Gary Portelli said, I'll be there, but the horse won't.
Yeah. It's interesting that with Colesberg, unwanted in betting, 13 out to 26. But David Payne obviously suggesting that the mile right up his alley. There are no markets out for... obviously, the champagne as yet for the championships. There's other markets before nomination markets, but because it's obviously a two-year-old, the boys at Tab will release that information as it comes to hand throughout the year. But it's exciting. It was a big win, and Blake Shin is on fire.
First of three for Blake Shin. Yep. He's appealed that suspension, hasn't he, which is going to keep him out of the Magic Millions as it stands.
Yes. So that's the rule they've got. He's appealed, and away he goes. But... he'll be up there at the Goldie, but look, he's in fine form, and I think he's pretty happy about the start of his 2017.
Next up?
Yeah, race seven, and we're going to speak to Glenn Schofield later, but Del Cielo was outstanding, was just trucking into the race, and it was just a matter of Glenn just sort of giving him a little bit of rein and just sprinted away. An exciting horse, especially because we've seen it in earlier preparations in Melbourne, but yeah, sky's the limit for Del Cielo.
Plato Gold, the inside of Oxford Pile, and Oxford Pile races to the lead now. Dal Cielo, the outside, is giving chase, and further back to Mr. Manhattan as Dal Cielo races to the lead from Oxford Pile. Then Mr. Manhattan and Harara down the outside, but Dal Cielo's drawn clear. Good go for the miners. Harara, the outside, will get up and run second, but Dal Cielo, he's down late, and Dal Cielo won it by a couple of lengths on the line to Harara. Oxford Pile third. Mr. Manhattan.
I mentioned it earlier. He won effortlessly, was the quote of Glenn Schofield. So now you start thinking, and got tracked in on the back of Oxford Poet too. Now you've got to think, well, where is Dal Cielo looking at next, Davey?
Well, this is the thing, and we'll talk to Glenn. Races in the same colours as Lucia Valentina, so Chris is obviously right in with the connections. Chris suggested in the weekend telly this morning that 1,400 metres might be the go. So, I mean, I'd be interested to see whether an all-age stakes at the end of the carnival in Sydney, or even a race like the Stradbroke.
Right.
Like Eagle Farm, big track would suit it, nice little weight. It'd be really interesting to just hear what sort of Glenn. I mean, look, admittedly, we're only talking about a summer meeting at Warwick Farm.
Sure. But was impressive.
The way in which he did it, and also the time too, because it was rain affected. Yeah, so he's run pretty good time.
I think it was a soft six was the rating of the track by that point. Soft six.
And we'll ask Glenn later, but I mean, by the way that Glenn jumped off him and said to, you know, the journos, well, I could have gone faster and could have gone a lot better. Mm. So that's exciting. There was a lot of attention at Caulfield as well yesterday in the first. A horse called Catchy, who we've seen now twice on both occasions winning, looks like it had no idea what it was doing coming to the turn. It sort of wobbled around that Caulfield turn, which a lot of young horses can do. But once Craig Williams got stuck in, really found the line well.
The 400 metres, Property got up on the inside and joined Clear Signal. 1.5 to Catchy now pushed along, and Siam Pills to the outside is starting to finish off well. Property narrowly running on Catchy on the outside is after the leader, who has a kick early, and Siam is making ground from the back. It's Property about a half in front of Catchy. Siam the outside and Kettleson switching to the inner. It's now Catchy getting the upper hand from Property, and Catchy, the first favourite, draws clear, and Catchy won it by 2 lengths to Property. Kettleson along the rails into third.
Craig Williams, you mentioned Hayes and Dabenig in the training group there. Now it is the favourite for the Blue Diamond. This is an all-in market at tab.com.au. Tulip is at Catchy at $9. Tulip at $11. Aspect at $13, and then you get plenty of other horses. Matinati is there at $15 as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's obviously it was impressive. I think there's a lot of water to go under the bridge with these youngsters. We saw a really good youngster win in Adelaide yesterday. The hardest thing for these young horses, and I'm only a young bloke at this game, and, you know, there'll be better punters out there than me listening, but I was always taught by my granddad that we can get wrapped up in them pretty quick, because if you get a horse beating unraced horses, and it's very hard to stack up the form until they all sort of start getting together. So, but on looks yesterday, there's only improvement to come. In Catchy. What about this bloke? Aussie Bloodstock. They can find a horse, especially in Germany. This bloke's now unbeaten in Australia. Pliencel. I'm not very good with the pronunciation. Do you want to have a crack at it? At Caulfield yesterday?
Yeah.
In race number 7?
Pliencel.
We'll see how Greg Miles pronounces it in the call. But
good idea.
This was a gun ride. He pushed out at the turn, and this has got a big motor.
Allen's been able to get off the rails on Plenciel, so around the home turn they come now. Plenciel and rewarding effort, so they come together and they head off Manhattan Boss, Sheldo and Cool Chap running on from the back. Plenciel in front with a rewarding effort, trying ever so hard on the outside, but Plenciel put nearly a length on him, and then Cool Chap wanting to lug in, followed by Bondiga. Plenciel well clear, 100 to go, 2 to 3 lengths. Here's Cool Chap starting to rattle home. Plenciel's in front though, and Plenciel got the money by a length to Cool Chap. Bondiga, rewarding effort, weakened out of it.
Darren, we're training for, as you mentioned, Australian Bloodstock. And yes, they can. Did I tell you my Australian Bloodstock story?
No.
Yeah, I was a part owner of a couple of horses, Wall Park.
Right.
And a horse called Salon Soldier. So Salon Soldier, we go to Randwick and it's racing, and my wife's 7 months pregnant. I said, come on, we'll go. And she said, oh, no. I said, all right, just go for that race and that's it. She said, all right. So anyway, gets out there. She's thinking, oh, it's hot, and she's, you know, uncomfortable, and it's in about December, I think it was. Anyway, get out there. It's 19s into 12s. It's last on the turn. It rattles home and wins. I turned to my wife. She's got tears in her eyes, cheering and everything. It was up at the champagne bar. Not drinking champagne,
no,
quite obviously.
No.
But this is a horse that wins the next race, the race after the Melbourne Cup. Jimmy Cassidy jumps off it on that occasion and says, don't let anyone else ride this horse. Chris Lees was training. Anyway, tips it out for the summit. Queen Elizabeth's the target.
Yep.
Right? Comes back, first day of training.
And
dies.
That's terrible.
It's shocking. Chris Lee still breaks out in a cold sweat whenever the name Salon Soldier comes up. It was devastating.
And
devastating.
Big raps.
Massive raps. Huge raps on it.
I tell you what, there's a lot of good syndicators in the country, and there's a lot of owners and ownership groups, but these blokes from Newcastle, Aussie Bloodstock, they just seem to know what they're doing, and good luck to them. They put a lot of money in, they buy good horses, and
they put a lot of work in.
Yeah, and they seem to get good people to the track and people living dreams. I'll have to remember that pronunciation of that horse because I think that horse
Plenciel.
Is going places. Plenciel.
Plenciel.
I don't know what Darren Weir has in mind, but it's with the right bloke. It's got a motor. So that's the main thing. This race at the Gold Coast, though, Hootson yesterday.
Yes.
Now Magic Millions favourite.
Oof.
And Jeff Lloyd, he'll probably need to go and see his chiropractor. He had that many looks over his shoulder.
450 metres left to go. Hootson led by length and a half to Sisterag. The second jockey just niggling at that runner. Next to the outside there is Zoo Kaz coming the absolute deepest. Make My Own Luck. And back nearer the inside is Never in Doubt from Red Deck. But Hootson, she's off and gone. She's raced about four lengths in front of Zoo Kaz. Sisterag, Make My Own Luck and Never in Doubt. But the rider of this leader, he was cheeky enough, Jeff Lloyd, to take a peek round the shoulder. It's all Hootson. How arrogant is this? Goodness me. Hootson has won by five lengths in an absolute hand canter. How good is she? Make My Lux run second ahead of Sister Act and next across the line was Zoo.
So From Within had a trial on Friday. Chris Rollett very happy with the horse. But after that, the win of Hootson, it's gone to $3.60 favourite, as you mentioned, for the Magic Millions. From Within is $4.60. Invincible Star, $7. Madinati in this market as well at $8.50. And, of course, all this coming up this Saturday,
yeah,
at the Gold Coast.
Huge day at the coast. Very interesting. Worked with Tony Bressel yesterday on Sky Racing 1. Tony,
how many winners did he tip, just out of interest?
I couldn't tell you, actually. His best bet of the day got up at $6.
Of course.
So skullduggery there in Caulfield. But I asked Tony on air, I said, look, you've seen both horses. I am putting you on the spot here. And I must admit, Tony is not a big fan of the all-in markets because he likes, you know, the barriers, the track conditions.
Sure.
He wants it all
sure.
to be.
Yep.
But he did say, visually on what he's seen, he'd be in the corner if he had to pick one of the second favourite, From Within.
Wow.
So, and I was lucky enough to see that online overseas when it won at Canterbury.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see what, again, another question we might ask Glyn Schofield, because he's ridden From Within.
Okay.
He's also very good mates with Jeff Lloyd. So very interesting to see if maybe Jeff around the barbecue table, because I know they catch up frequently, they have a beer and whatnot. It'd be interesting to see if Jeff might have said, you might have to come up to the coast on Saturday, we might be having a big party. So we'll soon see. A lot of water to go under the bridge, but they're two very exciting horses.
Absolutely. And what's going to be an exciting race day too. We're going to speak to Vin Cox, the general manager of the Magic Millions, a little bit later on in the program as well. We're talking cult heroes, of course, on the back of Mickey Edwards being a cult hero for the Australian cricket team. Jimmy and Dave, my cult hero in the 80s was Jeff Robbo Robinson. Long black hair and black beard and always socks around the ankles. And the chant of Robbo would be roaring through Belmore Sports Ground. That's John from Moorbank. Yeah, good one, John. He was a real favourite cult hero and a good player too, don't worry. Won competitions in 1980 and 84. Not sure if he was there in 85 with the Bulldogs, but definite star. One more, boys, the legendary miracle, Malcolm Johnston. There will be never be another like him. Thank God. Sexy eyes from Mudgee. Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Cult hero. He tells it right. He says, you know, in 100 years' time, they'll be talking about what was the greatest racehorse ever, and Kingston Town's name will come up, and as a result of that, my name will come up as a jockey. And that's pretty much spot on.
He's a genuine lunatic. From working with him on a few occasions, he is an absolute lunatic, and he loves baiting up Gary Harley. So Malcolm will come to the track if we're at Wyong or Gosford or somewhere, and he just annoys Gary Harley. He'll hide his form, or, you know, if Gary goes and gets some chips or something, or, you know, a can of Coke or some water, he'll just annoy the great man. And
genuine pest.
And there's a blow-up. Harley can give a good spray. So he gives it to Miracle. But I think that's what Miracle loves. He loves that.
Of course, he tells the story about when he used to be one of the jockeys and he was a lightweight and all the guys would be in the room sweating and he'd be out the front with a scone with jam and cream on it, just saying, hey, boys, here I am. I need something to eat. 1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Leo Schlink live from Doha.
BSB Extra brings you the stars of racing and sport, Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. NBA Australian star Andrew Bogut announced he's expecting a trade from the Dallas Mavericks.
We have a couple more months left here, and we'll obviously most likely move on, you know, and see ourselves hanging around with, you know, with everything that's going on.
Over summer, catch the stars of racing and sport on BSB Extra. Weekday mornings from 9, right here on Sky Sports Radio.
Well, Lionel, our Everything Must Go sale is about to go.
No, it isn't, Mum. It's still all go.
There's more?
Yes, more. Still more TVs, fridges, washers, more vacuums, aircons, coffee machines. They all must go at Bingley.
I could go a coffee.
There's no time for coffee, Mum. Everything's got to go.
But only for a few more days.
Everything in our online catalogue at bingley.com.au.
It ends on January 8th.
The Everything Must Go sale, last days at Bingley.
Exclude Dasko and Miller.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one VT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. It's Dave and Jimmy all the way up to 9 o'clock for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend debut show of 2017. Ray Thomas over there in Fiji, sunning himself in Fiji, as is Tanya as well. Hi, boys. Arthur Beetson was a real cult hero. Nambucca Rooster. Not going to argue with that, Nambucca Rooster. 1353-53, the open line number. Let's go to Mick there. G'day, Mick.
How are you? Happy New Year, boys.
And to you, mate.
And what I've got is Arnie's Army, Arnold Palmer.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And the great white shark.
The shark.
The shark. Was the shark a cult hero?
I think so.
He was a hero.
He was an Australian golf. He put golf on the map for Australia, really, in that period.
Well, certainly. Certainly.
Well, he was 3 years number one in the world?
Oh, I think he was about 300 weeks. So that's about 6 years.
Weeks.
When you add up all his weeks as world number one.
Yeah. But Arnie's Army was just unbelievable in that time.
Yes.
It was a... Anyway, and of course Reg Gasnier, the what do they call him, the
Puff
the Dragon,
Puff.
I can't even think, but Puff the Magic Dragon.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
I saw him play, and he was just unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't. I've only seen vision of him, but the still head and the running, the evasiveness with the still head was a sight to see. Good on you, Mick. Actually, Mick, stay on the line, mate. We're going to send you out a Sports Year diary courtesy of sportsyear.com.au because that was a good call. Hi, guys. Cult heroes from the Olympics. Oh, yeah, because we're not just...
Yeah, no, we forgot about them.
Yeah?
Eric the Eel, Eric Musimbani. Sydney Olympics.
Yeah. He's the fastest swimmer in Equatorial Guinea.
That's right. Name for all false started. I'll never forget that. Jeez.
That's from Frosty. It's going. And Eddie the Eagle. Yeah, they make movies about these blokes. It could be a Mickey Edwards the Musical or something like that, you know. We can't rule it out at this point.
Why don't we ask him later who we'd like him to play in the musical or the
movie?
There
you go. There we go. You know, you could always throw that up there. Ryan Gosling, it'd probably be, you know. I don't know who would play Dave Stanley. Obviously, Drew Carey.
Yeah, we'd get Drew. Surely.
Short price favourite.
Surely.
But... yeah, there's some things to think about. Hey, morning, Jimmy and Dave. Remember the time when blokes like Andy Bickle and Michael Kasprich would be 12th man match after match, which always seemed a bit of a waste as they was missed many Shield games, but now they seem to get anyone to be 12th man, including the team physio in one match. How philosophy's changed. Regards, Eagle-Eyed Phil. Yeah, that's a good point, mm-hmm. Eagle-Eyed Phil. And this is why Mickey Edwards has been one of our inspiration for our talk topic today. But I know there's a friend of mine who played first grade cricket for 10 or 12 years, Lee Kirk. He was fielding for Australia at an SCG test match. He was not going to make the New South Wales side, but he was a very good fielder. And I don't know how it came about, but he fielded for Australia. Mark Taylor, Glenn McGrath, Shane Warne, Steve Waugh. They'd take a wicket, and he said, I'd just stand there in the huddle and just listen.
That's unbelievable.
Fascinating.
Unbelievable. Fascinating.
And I got a feeling that Eddie Cowan was pulled out of a beer line at the SCG one day to be a sub-fielder. And he did go on and sub-field. He hadn't had a beer yet. So it wasn't like he's lining up. For
wouldn't
his
that
third.
Be folklore, though?
It wasn't lining up for his third. But he had a time to field and then, of course, played for Australia. So he'd been there as the sub-fielder, and then he played for...
Came through, that's right.
The point they're making there is, was it last year or the year before that the Australian... They were short a fielder, so the Australian physio went out there. And he played, like, second-grade cricket. But I think that's probably going too far. You need to have a... And invariably, they're a good fielder, whoever comes in there. But that's one of the situations where I think it probably goes a little bit too far. Considering Ray's hair colour and fair skin, I really doubt he's sunning himself very much. No name on that one, but you're right. If he is over there by the pool at the moment, he'd be covered in the big wide brim hat and the sun cream everywhere and the rashie on. But either way, he's beside a pool in Fiji, yes. And you are locked in a studio at French's Forest.
Here's one left field.
Yes.
Barry Sheen. Could you say? I'm sort of coming in at the back end when he was on the on the broadcast the ads and whatnot. Yeah. But unbelievable motorbike rider.
He was. How many times was he world champ? Two or three? Barry Sheen, I thought.
I'll have to look it up.
There's the famous story about Barry Sheen. I think a Playboy Playmate was doing a photo shoot, and she wanted some racing leathers. And somehow the contact was made with Barry Sheen, and he lent her his racing leathers, and then he married her.
Yeah.
That's a true story. And then he married her. So there you go. There you go, Dave. You never know. Is there a Mrs. Stanley?
There's no marriage.
Right.
There is a...
Clearing this up for all the female listeners out there that might think, oh...
There is a better half. Nice.
Right, there is a better half.
Okay,
so back off, ladies.
I don't think they're lining up. Yeah, Dinkum. Jeez.
Well, hang on. We had an SMS from Judy earlier. I don't know what Judy's situation is, but anyway, mate.
What are you turning into Dr. Love?
No, we're not a matchmaking service here on a Sunday morning. We're not a matchmaking service. What we are doing, we're just having a bit of trouble to establish a line with Leo over there in Doha, but we can tell you that, look, he's had a long winning streak. He's now become the world number one, Andy Murray, and he has been beaten overnight in that final. By Novak Djokovic. Now, Novak Djokovic has had his own issues. I think Boris Becker's walked away from the camp. He's basically saying, look, I don't think there's the concentration on tennis as there once was. And to be honest, you know, for that 4 or 5 year period when he was the best in the world, Novak, you've got to just be tennis. You know, I think Stan Wawrinka showed that when he lived in a hotel room for a couple of years and he had a wife and child elsewhere. But just to achieve the things that you want to in your chosen field. So Novak Djokovic has beaten Andy Murray 6-3, 7-5, 6-4 in that Qatar ExxonMobil Open over in Doha. So he's going to be happy with his form going into the Australian Open. I think he's won 6 or 7 of them, hasn't he? Novak, Australian Opens, I mean. And, of course, the other tennis result over the course of last night is that France have defeated the USA in that Hopman Cup final.
I can tell you from a tab.com.au point of view, there's not a cent for Novak. Not a cent at all. So
what,
I think
what price you got him?
Well, he's at the moment 260, Murray 250. So there's not much between them, but Murray holds all the money. I'm keen to see how Rafa goes, and I think at $13, could very well pop up.
Well, the question mark is around fitness and whether he's got the miles in the legs, and so you wonder, you know, if he gets a tough third setter and the third rounder and a fourth rounder, then you never know. But as you say, you're looking for value. So this is what you're trying to do. He's a 6-time Australian Open champion, including last year, Novak Djokovic. So there you go. That's a man in form now that he's coming into this. 1353-53, the open line number. Ron is on the line. G'day, Ron.
G'day, Jimmy. How you doing, mate? All right?
Very well, mate.
Yeah, mate, I just want to bring back a few memories of the Laurie Nichols days, mate.
Oh, yeah? Go for it.
1969, 1970, I was doing a bit of coaching down the Glebe, Balmain, mate, and I worked at Balmain Leagues Club at the time on the trays there.
Yeah.
And I was coaching the representative SG ball side back in those days. And my manager at the time was Terry Parker, who played in the 1969 grand final, who passed the ball to Sidney Williams, who scored the try. But getting back to Laurie, we were playing the final against South Sydney, and Laurie came out to the game, and we got beat 7-6, but Laurie gave him a bit of a rev up at half-time too, would throw in the punches. He said, come on, Ronnie, get him going. So that was a memory of Laurie back in them days. He just didn't go to the first grade games. He'd come and watch the representative sides play too.
Yeah, right.
And he was a top bloke, Laurie, and Artie, mate, I working on the trays there, and many a pie and a beer I've had, and then a game of snooker with Artie at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, mate, some of those footballers I had in them days was a young fella come down, and he said, I want to try out for your SG ball. I said, go for it, mate. I said, I've got a couple of good centres here, and it turned out to be Jeff Starling.
Ah, we were talking, his name came up, gee, what was it, a couple of days ago. He played for Australia aged 18, didn't he?
That's right, mate. Yeah, well, he played SG ball for me with Balmain, and I said, mate, I've got two good centres here playing, but you can try out if you like, and it turned out to be Jeff Starling, mate.
Well, I hope you picked him, Ron.
Oh, mate, I had to pick him, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But we got beat 7-6 by South, but Laurie was there on the day, and I'll never, ever forget it, mate. And big Artie, as I said, many a pie and a game of snooker I've had with Artie when I was working the trays there at Balmain.
Oh, mate, one of the most charismatic blokes, not least because he was a great player, but a real charismatic bloke as well, the great Arthur Beads. Good night, Ronnie. Stay on the line, mate. We'll send you out a diary. Courtesy of sportsyear.com.au. 1353 53, the open line number. We believe Leo Schlink is actually at the interview now with Novak Djokovic, and we will have him next hour. So Leo Schlink coming up after that. Time for the news now. We'll be back with more Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Sarah Wombe. A stubborn heat wave being blamed on warm central Australian winds is settling in across New South Wales, with very little relief from the sweat-inducing temperatures in sight for many days. Sydney will be spared the worst of the oppressive heat with coastal sea breezes for much of the week, but inland New South Wales will bear the full brunt of the scorching conditions, with the heat wave expected to intensify to severe or extreme levels as the week wears on. Meantime, Victoria is entering its third day of hot weather, but a cool change is expected to give residents some much-needed relief. A cool change is expected to reach Melbourne later, but in the meantime, health authorities are advising residents to stay cool and hydrated and to look out for elderly and vulnerable people. The RSPCA has also warned pet owners to take care of their animal friends in the heat. And in Western Australia, there is a severe fire danger advice for parts of the Midwest Gascoyne and parts of the Pilbara with hot, dry and windy conditions. Victorian Homicide Squad detectives are investigating after a man's body was found in a backyard in Melbourne's southeast. Emergency services were called to an address on Taurus Avenue in Dandenong North, where the body was found shortly after 8 last night. Investigators are treating the man's death as suspicious. A man has died after becoming impaled on a fence near a railway line in Adelaide. Police say the man's body was discovered near the railway lines between Victoria Street and Devon Street at Goodwood about 5 yesterday afternoon. The death is not believed to be suspicious, with police saying the man may have been attempting to jump the fence when he became impaled. Surf lifesavers in Queensland are urging swimmers to be cautious in the water on the western side of Fraser Island as they investigate a number of suspected Irukandji jellyfish stings. Chief Operating Officer George Hill has told Macquarie beachgoers should think twice before jumping in.
If you're on a boat, make sure that you don't jump in the water straight away. You wear full clothing, maybe refrain from swimming in that area for now. And if you're at another location along the coastline, always swim between the red and yellow flags that are patrolled there, where we can keep an eye on you and let you know what's going on.
The US Homeland Security Department says it will increase protection of the country's voting machines after a new report directly accuses Russian President Vladimir Putin of ordering cyber attacks to influence the presidential election. The BBC's Nick Bryant has more.
Russia's cyber attacks evolved over the campaign. When it looked like Mrs. Clinton would win, the priority was to undermine her future presidency. The attacks began in July 2015, and British intelligence was among the first to notice that computer servers at the Democratic National Committee had been breached. In response to the findings, the Department of Homeland Security here has decided to designate US election infrastructure, such as voting machines and registration databases, as vital, a move intended to make them less vulnerable to online attacks.
And still in the US, the Fort Lauderdale airport, where five people were shot dead and eight injured by a gunman in a baggage claim area, has reopened. This is Air News. It's the men's final day at the Brisbane International, and for his report, here's Air Sport's Paul Walsh.
Grigor Dimitrov and Kai Nishikuri will face off in the final of the Brisbane International later today after they both secured straight set semi-final victories. Dimitrov was too strong for number one seed Milos Raonic, 7-6-6-2, while Kai Nishikuri was able to account for Stan Wawrinka, 7-6-6-3. Earlier in the day, Karolina Pliskova claimed her seventh career title when she outclassed Elise Cornet from France 6-love, 6-4. Pliskova was the form player of the tournament, dropping only one set on her way to the title. In Perth, Richard Gasquet got the French off to the perfect start by defeating Jack Sock. However, Coco Vandeweghe squared the ledger for the US, only to see the French secure the Hopman Cup in straight sets in the mixed doubles. This is Paul Walsh for Air Sport.
Kevin Peterson has led the Melbourne Stars to an imposing total in their Big Bash derby against the Renegades. Peterson belted 73 from 46 balls as the Stars posted 7 for 200 at Etihad Stadium last night. The former England Test star was in no mood to waste time, belting the first of three sixes from his first ball faced. And Australia is celebrating a 3-0 series victory over Pakistan after winning the third Test in Sydney by 220 runs. And in the NBL, the Illawarra Hawks have beaten Melbourne United 106-88 in Wollongong. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Early fog patches in the outer west, mostly sunny morning with cloud increasing during the day. Light winds becoming northeasterly, 25 to 35 kilometres an hour in the middle of the day, then becoming light in the late evening. There's a 0% chance of rain, which is good. I've got to go to cricket on today, David. I'm wanting to get that done. Maximum of 29 degrees in Sydney town. What about at Manly, of course, the home of Mickey Edwards and the Manly Daily, and Mudgee.
A little bit cooler at Manly today, only a top of 27, but the same forecast, partly cloudy for Manly. And in Mudgee, mostly sunny and 35 big ones. So hello to everyone listening in Mudgee this morning.
Harvey Norman massive half-yearly clearance on now with 50 months interest-free store-wide. Huge clearance deals across all categories. Furniture, bedding, home appliances, computer technology and entertainment. Big brands, big savings. Buy now with 50 months interest-free store-wide. That's no deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until March 2021. Minimum financed amount $750. Approved applicant only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Shop in-store and online. Harvey Norman massive half-yearly clearance on now.
Now, this next caller found love in a very unusual place. Tell us about it, Damo.
Yeah, I was actually out on a boat with the boys.
I'm intrigued.
It was the TJ Smith Stakes. I was miles from a TV, so I watched it live on my Tab app. And Chautauqua, wow!
You've got to love that. It's easy to love a bet when you can prepare for the punt, watch racing live, and relive the action with the Tab app.
Tab, we love a bet.
Replays not available on Victorian thoroughbred races. Gamble responsibly. Like
they're all gone! They're all gone! Tanda's off! The Dolphin's off! The redressings caused that! Tanda had nowhere to go!
El Mandan and Heartbreak City, what a finish to the Melbourne Cup! El Mandan putting his nose in front of Heartbreak City, they hit the line. El Mandan! El Mandan won it by a very narrow margin from Heartbreak City.
Riding shot wins this historic round final. Picking the Springer.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Dave Stanley filling in for Ray Thomas. We're here right up until 9 o'clock. We're looking for our cult heroes. By the way, in between of all our cult heroes, Dave, we've got a big hour coming up. Peter Snowden, Glenn Schofield, Andy Pascalides, Leo Schlink, the Event Cinemas Quiz, and the Scratchings for New South Wales.
It's jam-packed.
That's the busy hour. Well done on your first hour, too.
Thank you, mate.
Is this your first hour on radio. Talkback Radio?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. We've got that slot with the weekday boys, and you'll be in there on. I'll be there on Tuesday.
Okay.
Trent's doing later, but no, I'm having a ball.
I tell you what, you've made an impact too. Yet another guest host showing you up, James. This comes in from our mate, Sophie at Strathfield, or Trevor, as I like to call him. Must be hanging on by your fingertips, and with Yvonne Sampson at Fox now, you're probably going further down the ladder there. Thanks for your support, Sophie, or Trevor, or whoever.
Gee, they're ruthless. I'm learning.
They are
this.
Without Ruth, aren't they? They are without Ruth.
And what an exciting, on that beautiful segue, Fox Sports, Australia's
sports leader.
Sports leader. That's a great coup to get Yvonne over there, and that's going to be outstanding to watch that new channel form. And you know, I mean, we've seen it with the AFL how good it is.
Fox Footy.
Just watching, you know, the analysis and.
Well, it'll be all there up in lights, and Yvonne is a great operator, and the thing that is most important about Yvonne is that she loves the game of rugby league, and that authenticity comes through.
I'm tipping there's a few partners out there that would be a little bit filthy about the new channel coming on. There's nothing, because you just can't get away from the television. There's no maintenance done on the house.
What about the stress that the Big Bash League is putting on?
Well, that's the thing.
Marriages around the country.
There used to be a little bit of reprieve, but every night, it's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Morning, boys. I doubt if there's been a bigger cult hero, especially in Queensland, as the King, Wally Lewis. And after witnessing all the lookalikes at the cricket, 2 for 22, Richie Benaud has to be on the podium. Cheers, Brett from Broadbeach. Yeah, a couple of good nominations there. You're not Queenslander. You'd appreciate
the King. He was... Well, they got the statue up there.
Oh, of course.
You know, they absolutely love him. I remember there was an uproar. I'll never forget, made front page of the Courier Mail. The New South Wales supporters had come in the night before and they'd, defaced not severe damage, but I think they'd put a Blues jersey over it and streamers and whatnot, or tried to put
blue
paint.
So basically improved the statue, is what you're saying.
And, it was just big news. And, you know, the chief police bloke was on and he said, look, we're going to get them and... It was huge.
Imagine that. Oh, you vandalism. 12 years hard labour. Oh, what are you talking about? It was Wally Lewis. It's not Wally Lewis. It's Peter Snowden next.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, it was a good performance yesterday by Gold Symphony. One of the trainers is Peter Snowden. He's been good enough to join us on the line. First show of the year. G'day, Pete.
Morning, Jimmy.
Congratulations on the win. First of all, I have to say, you're on for the first show. You probably won't be the last time you're on this program, Pete, and I'd imagine you'd like that.
I hope not, mate. I have you on every week.
Well, good run. Probably one of the most impressive things to come out of this, Pete, was the ride by Kieran McAvoy. Did you talk about that cutting the corner before the race, or is that just something that played out with Kieran and he reacted?
No, we did actually. Look, a small horse, a small field, it's always a recipe for disaster. More it's just a track gallop and tactics. We thought they wouldn't worry about us with the outside of the field.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mind wet ground, so we thought if we can cut the corner, it's going to save us a couple of lengths. This might be a winning move, and it panned out perfectly. Really good for the horse, though, because he's probably 12 or 18 months ago, the horse was racing group races, and looked like I've been an outstanding colt. He lost his way along the way, and this preparation has been gelded. Marvellous alteration that is. It does get the mindset right, let me tell you. But he's a different horse now, much more genuine horse, and all his focus is on racing, and let's hope for the owners it's a good preparation this time.
Peter, good morning. It's Dave. You mentioned the ride and obviously that ultimate gear change. I mean, with yesterday's win now, do you sort of see more doors opening up for this preparation?
Yeah, Dave, look, it's you can't beat winning for horses. They know what it is, and to get some of that old form back, and The thing pricked his ears the last 100 metres. For me, that's a great sign to see that he really enjoyed that and got a kick out of it. No more so than the owners, probably, because it's been a bit of a frustrating run for them as well. But it's, as I said, winning form's great form, and it gives horses confidence. And he'd like to think now he might be able to go on with it and get back to some of that old form.
How does a horse, you mentioned he lost his way and he had a couple of impressive wins, and given the fact he's a reward for effort, Cole, there was chances of a breeding option there as well. And how does that happen with the horse, Pete?
Oh, it can happen, Jimmy. It's just something that's in their makeup. Mm. Some horses are tougher. Same as people, some are tougher than others. Some cop pain, some can't. Some will just want to try their heart out every time they go out, and some just want to do it some of the time. So they're all different. They're very much like people. And
right.
Sometimes colts lose their way with that gear change. It sort of takes that focus of everything else out of them. They get a bit coldy. They think about fillies and whatnot, and it just puts them back on track. And this bloke, never really bullied, but just he got beat a couple of times. It's just like you half give up. And
right.
When it got tough, he just thought, oh, well, why bust myself? There's three feeds waiting for me at home and someone to rub me out every day. Why try hard? It's that mental attitude that they get. And but honestly, if you get them back on track, and gelding sometimes helps with that with the colts, it can get them back on track and get them back their old form. But as I said yesterday, when he got the front, hit his ears back, and he's put under pressure. Once he got the front, he pricked his ears and went on and won comfortably by a couple of lengths. So for me, that's just, I think the horse got the thrill out of that as well.
Yeah.
Pete, it's been an unbelievable start to 2017. You had a field day at Kembla Grange recently, and I also noticed one of your winners, California Fortune, which won recently at Wyong on the 4th. It was only, a set weights maiden, but the way in which this horse won, and beautifully bred too, in a bit of a segue into the Magic Millions later,
sure,
out of Mimi LeBrock, who won a Magic Millions. You must be excited by, California Fortune, especially these horses that cost a lot at the sales, and they seem to, when they put it all together on a racetrack.
It is very pleasing to see. You're right, Dave, because they cost a lot of money, and it doesn't guarantee anything. You really got to wait and hope that these horses can perform up to their breeding, their pedigree. He's out of a really good mare. He's a lovely, fast outright colt. It's always showed a bit, but it's been very slow maturing. And thankfully, the owners have been very patient, and they need patience. When you pay money, quite often they want to return quickly. But these people, Maria Yoshida and Miss Leong from Hong Kong, they've been racing a long time, and they realise they want horses. They want longevity out of horses, not in a rush to push them along to get them early. And given the opportunity to let him strengthen and develop, he's starting to come into his own now. But it's really pleasing to see him win as well as he did. And you're right, I do think he has a future.
Pete, you'll be active again up at Magic Millions during the course of the week, I'd imagine.
Yeah, we've got some really good clients behind us now that buy particularly well. James Heron is one, and James has a lot of homework, and there's a lot to do up there too. If anyone that doesn't know, it's certainly no holiday. There's a lot of work to do, and when you're putting your head on the line and buying horses for clients, you've got to be as accurate and as secure as you can. And it's never easy. You can pick the best walker, although they don't have walking races, but you can go on looks and type and pedigree, confirmation. There's a lot of things go into it, and quite often you come away empty-handed, and yet you work as hard as anyone, but just things don't work out for one reason or another. And it's a lottery, you know. Sometimes a $10,000 horse is there's been a few of late.
Yeah.
Got problems with yearlings, and they're backward or they're immature, and if you look through that and be a bit forgiving, you might be able to get yourself a bargain.
Peter, one of our listeners has just texted in and asked if we could ask you about El Sasso, who was scratched yesterday from the Gold Coast. Was it the wide barrier, or was everything all right with El Sasso?
Yeah, the horse is fine, just the wide barrier. He's a great fresh horse, but he's also, when he races fresh, that's what he does do. He comes out running hard. I just thought from that draw, I just look a bit ugly. He would get caught wide, over-raced, just fall in a hole, which he can do at times. So we opted to have a little jump out through the week next week in Brisbane, and there's a 1,000-metre race there on the 21st. That's where we'll see him next.
Hey, Pete, we've got a full dance card this morning, this hour. Thank you very much for your time, and I dare say won't be the last time we speak to you in 2017.
I certainly hope not, Jimmy. It'd be great to talk to you again, and
good,
Dave.
Good on you, mate, and good luck with those sales up.
Thanks,
there, the Magic
mate.
Millions. Pete Snowden there, part of the Peter and Paul Snowden training team. A good win with Gold Symphony yesterday at Warwick Farm. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Glenn Schofield.
Well, Lionel, our Everything Must Go sale is about to go.
No, it isn't, Mum. It's still all go.
There's more?
Yes, more. Still more TVs, fridges, washers, more vacuums, aircons, coffee machines. They all must go at Bingley.
I could go a coffee.
There's no time for coffee, Mum. Everything's got to go.
But only for a few more days.
Everything in our online catalogue at bingley.com.au.
It ends on January 8th.
The Everything Must Go sale, last days at Bingley.
Exclude Dasco and Miller.
This truly magical thoroughbred Able Friend going to win the Champions Bowl in an absolute hand canter. That's the world's best.
Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, Korea.
The best of Asian racing.
Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
Clear.
Please help her. Please.
Clear.
Last summer, 14 children drowned in our backyard pools.
Stand back, stand back.
A moment's distraction is all it takes.
All right. Mummy's just got to check on the oven, okay? All right, one sec.
No!
Keep watch, no matter what. To learn more, search Royal Life Saving Australia.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one VT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Just struggling to get Glenn Scoville. He might still be doing laps of Warwick Farm. He did a lap of Warwick Farm yesterday to drop a little bit of weight. Yeah, yeah. So it's it.
I don't know anything about that.
What, the story or the doing of the laps or the losing the weight?
Oh,
all of the above.
All of the above. All of the above.
All of the above. Some great SMS coming in. Great show, Jimmy and Dave. Never miss it. Tuncurry next Saturday, the 14th of Jan, our big seafood race day. For any listeners in the area, the Tuncurry Racecourse is the place to be. We will welcome all. Expecting 3,000 to 4,000 people. Cheers, Terry Evans. Good on you, Terry. Tuncurry. I've never been to the racecourse, but I reckon it'd be a picturesque one.
Yeah, Luke Marlowe, one of our race callers here, and a good mate, has said it's the grouse.
Is
You've just got to get up there. The crowd's into it. There's a good feed. So naturally, my ears pricked when he said that, but... No, look, those type of meetings, and as Terry alluded to, 3,000 to 4,000 people going, that's what it's all about. I mean, you can go, it's funny, like, you can go to the big days at Randwick, you can go to the big days at Melbourne and Cox Plates and everything, but there's nothing quite like getting on the Cairns at a good country meeting, good people, backing a winner as well.
Yeah.
There's just something special about it. So if you're around Tuncurry... get there.
Good on you, Terry. Appreciate the SMS. And then there's an SMS just comes in. Artie Beetson, Graham Langlands, Eric Sims and John Sattler. No name on it, but we understand what you're saying. Looking for your cult heroes. 1353 53 is the open line number. Doug is on the line. G'day, Doug.
Hey, guys. I reckon I've got an off-spinner for Australia. It was a bigger cult hero than Nathan Lyon in Greg Matthews. I don't think there was ever a Aussie cricketer who spoke a different language and bowled with his cap on and did practice balls beside the pitch and all that sort of stuff.
He's an interesting character. I don't know if he was a cult hero. He's definitely different, Mo.
Certainly was.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to play cricket with Mo. I played a couple of games with Mo at Waverley, or Eastern Suburbs as it is now. And
didn't he play with the university too?
Initially he played with Western Suburbs, then he played with Waverley / Eastern Suburbs, and then he played with Sydney University, yeah, and long stints at all three clubs. I remember I was playing in a game there, and he got the one wicket that we got in that first session, and I said to him in the dressing, he says, oh, good on you for getting that wicket, Greg, and he said, I'll get five. And I thought, oh, that's pretty confident. Anyway, he ended the day, he had six. So it goes to show the mentality that he had.
He was also involved, wasn't he, in the tied test in India?
Yeah, he only got the 10 wickets in that match.
Yeah.
And including the last one.
And Jimmy, could you understand him? Did you speak the same language?
Yeah, cat, brother, fem coat, S coat.
Go, baby.
Go, baby. Go, baby. Yeah. There's the great, I think it was the Billy Birmingham 12th man tape where Tony Gregg's having a phone conversation with Greg Matthews, but you don't hear what Greg Matthews is saying.
Yeah.
But all you hear Tony Gregg saying is, what? Yeah, who? What? That? And you totally understand. What's going on?
He was talented too, Jimmy. He's batting as well as he's bowling. He had the skills.
Four test hundreds, and at one stage you could argue very strongly that he was the best fielder in the Australian side. So
exactly,
he's very, very... Actually, he was a fellow who believed supremely in his abilities, and his abilities were able to take him all the way to play for Australia. Good on you, Doug. That's good nomination. Doug, stay on the line, mate. We'll send you out a diary, courtesy of our great friends at Sportsy, sportsy.com.au. So, diary coming Dougie's way.
You mentioned Ed Cowan before. He's tweeted in. He's listening. Good morning, Ed. And he said, true story, Jimmy. We were talking before about how he was getting the sherbets. He was lined up to get the frothy, and they pulled him out of the queue and said, you're on.
I thought that was the case.
Yep. So
can,
he's listening.
Can you, let's tweet Ed back and say, are you sure, based on your fielding that day, are you sure you weren't seven schooners in? No, we won't do that. Good man, Eddie Cowan. Good man. Let's go to the open line, or stay with the open line, 1353-53. John Joanna. G'day, John.
How are you, mate?
Very well. What do you got for us, Johnny?
Oh, mate, I just let you know when I met my cult hero. That was John Donlin.
Oh.
From Canada.
Yes.
Yeah, years ago, I was driving through Gunnedah, and me mate and his missus. We stopped at the pub at Gunnedah there in the main road, and I said to the barman, I said, oh, you know John Donnelly? He said, yeah, I know him well. He said, he's barred from here. I said, oh, I said, what did he do? He said, he relieved himself at the bar. And so I said to him, I said, oh, where's he live? He said, oh, he's just up around the corner. So we drove up, knocked on the door, and there's a little old lady come out.
Yeah.
He said, what are you after? I said, oh, John Donnelly there. He said, yeah, I'll get him for you. Here he comes out, he's wet, suburb shorts on, no shirt, long hair, no shoes. He said, what do you want? I said, oh, mate, just like to meet you. He said, yeah, right, he shook my hand, and I said, there's me mate, he's missed in the car there, and he waved at him. He said, right, I'll see you later. he's a fantastic old Dallas.
Mate, what a legend John Dallas Donnelly was. I never met him, but, you know, you read all that stuff, you see the vision, the kneeing blokes in the head and getting sent off, and, you know, it sort of distracted you from the fact that he was a very, very good footballer. And the tragedy of it is that he drowned in the surf after having an epileptic fit not long after he retired too, I think, John.
Yeah, he died young, yeah.
Yeah. Such a tragedy.
Nice bloke. Yeah, nice bloke, mate. He might have been that on the field, but, you know, he treated me well.
Absolutely. Yeah. The stories around the Western Suburbs team with Tommy Radonikis and Les Boyd and Ray Brown and Dallas Donnelly and John Dorey, that late 70s side that made the semi-finals all the time and part of the famous Fibros versus Silvertails era. I tell you what, they were hard men. They were hard men. It was a great time of rugby league. 1353-53, the open line number.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. Time now to talk some football. Andy Pascalides is our man who does that. Morning, Andy.
Good morning, gentlemen, and Dave. How are you, mate?
Hello, Andy. Welcome back to Australia.
Jimmy. Yeah, it's good to be back home, back on level field.
Yeah.
Mate, I tell you what, the football just doesn't surprise you, does it? I mean, what happens, whether it's A-League, whether it's Premier League, whether it's FA Cup, and we had quite a few FA Cup ties last night. And
Andy, I tell you what I did. I got in here today, and I went to the live score website, and I saw, okay, how did Man United go? And then I saw they won 4-0, and then I thought, right, I'll have a look at the scorers. And I was very pleased to see Mr. Rooney back on the list.
Oh, mate, you're an unabashed Man United fan. And also Marcus Rashford getting two. Martial got the other one. But more importantly, as you say, Rooney's has now equaled Sir Bobby Charlton's record, 249 goals.
Wow.
But Rooney has done that in 543 appearances. Sir Bobby did it in 758.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a significant difference in terms of goal ratio. And, you know, at a time when there's a lot of questions about Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
But he's a brilliant, brilliant player.
Mm. There's a few shocks, though, too. Bournemouth. I think we had... Was there 11 changes for the Bournemouth team into this one?
There was, mate, and Adam Federici and Brad Smith, the two Aussies, got to start in this game, and they crashed at Millwall. Millwall are not in the Premier League, as we know. They're not in the League Championship. They're 10th in League One.
Oh, you're kidding.
So Bournemouth crash out. Stoke crash out as well. Mm. Stoke, 11th in the Premier League. They lose 2-0 at home to Wolves, who are 16th in the League Championship. West Brom also have been bounced out of the Premier League, of course, against Derby County, who was 7th in the League Championship. West Brom went down 2-1 at home. And, mate, this guy seems to be doing this time and time again now. Giroud scored what was in the 89th minute of the last game that just finished less than an hour ago. Arsenal have won 2-1 away at Preston, who were mid-table in the League Championship.
Well, what's happening with Arsenal, Andy? Because they just look... they don't look right, do they?
No, they don't, but... I was watching the game in midweek, and I was listening to all the commentaries out of the UK, and they were down 3-0 away at Bournemouth, but they did fight back to make it 3-3. It was significant, the fight back, to score three goals in the last 20 minutes, but if you're going to win Premier League titles, you do not concede three goals away at Bournemouth. So, I don't know, there's going to be question marks, but let's see how January pans out, the rest of January pans out for the Gunners, but it's going to be a tough, tough race for them.
Big action tomorrow too, with Liverpool, Chelsea, Spurs all playing at home with those five cup ties.
Yeah, and as you know, the markets, they're very short, aren't they? Liverpool $1.15, Chelsea $1.15 also against Peterborough, who are League One side. Liverpool are playing Plymouth, who are League Two side. And Tottenham playing Aston Villa. That's probably going to be the toughest one of the five. Spurs $1.28. Villa, who are 12th in the League Championship, are $11. And Milo Yadinac, of course, will pretty much start for Villa. But I expect all those Premier League teams to get through. I can't see banana skins in these five ties.
What about the A-League? Let's move closer to home. Four games already from round 14. The shock was Brisbane and Newcastle. I mean, Newcastle beat them 4-0 earlier in the year. But for them to go up and win... in a high-scoring game at Suncorp. How long is it since they've been beaten up there at Suncorp? Long time, Andy.
I watched both games last night. Obviously, first one, Brisbane. I didn't see this coming. I mean, Newcastle long shots, 550. That was my best bet for the weekend. I've got to be honest with you. Brisbane 155 at home, considering they have not lost previously in 13 home games.
Yeah.
That was a significant statement by the Jets. And well done. It puts the Jets in the top six. It bounces West Sydney Wanderers into seventh position. And you know what? I can't but be praising in regards to the way Mark Jones' team performed last night. Jamie McLaren pulled it back to 2-2 in the 82nd minute with a pen, but they deserved it, mate, to be honest. It wasn't a shock in terms of the way they played. They played some good football, and they showed us that they will be a contender for the top six.
I think we spoke to Nigel Bougard, and they're just getting players back at the right time too, isn't it? They had so many injuries during the course part of the season.
It was a tough start for Mark, who's the new coach, of course. And I just can't say anything more in terms of praising them. It was just brilliant result. And you know, you look at the way Brisbane have performed at home, not just this season, but in years gone by, and that's a big one. And you said it earlier. Should we be surprised given that the Jets bounced them 4-0 at home in October?
Adelaide went down to Melbourne Victory last night. Victory, second favourite at this stage for the comp. And obviously Sydney in action this afternoon, Andy, against Central Coast. Is it Sydney's... I mean, they've been the punter's pal, Sydney, all tournament so far. Is it their title to lose at the moment?
There's always the question when you're unbeaten in any competition that you're going to have a rough patch. And when does that rough patch come? The way they're playing, you just can't see it coming. You really can't see it coming. I mean, yes, Melbourne Victory are probably the team that can push them. And Melbourne got up 2-0 last night in Adelaide. And Adelaide unlucky not to open scoring a couple of times last night. And there's a 10-point gap to Melbourne City. And when you look at these top three, say Melbourne City, on Friday night against 10 men, against the Wanderers, for 60 minutes, they couldn't really put them away. And the Wanderers were unlucky not to draw. So if you're looking at the championship credentials of those three, obviously Sydney stand out today. The hot favourites, even away at Central Coast, they're unbeaten in the last seven against Central Coast. They've scored 10 goals in their last three trips to Gosford, so you expect a hat full of goals again today. And that should give them 36 points and 7-point buffer again on Melbourne victory. So at the moment, I can't see anyone really catching Sydney outside of Melbourne victory.
They've still got a visa spot too that Arnie's looking to fill. Yeah,
that's right. And Matty Yerman's gone. So he's had quite a few applicants come through. I was actually going to put a name forward of a Romanian player that I saw in India. Then I read the stories yesterday. I thought, Arnie's going to just say to me, Pasco, you're going crazy. I've got 20 applicants already. And mind you, why wouldn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why wouldn't he want to come out here if you're an available player right now to fill a spot here and to be in the greatest city in the world?
I was going to say, listen, mate, here's the deal. You're going to be paid well in a side that's running first by 7 points and you get to live in Sydney. Mm. I'll give you a minute and a half to think about it.
Unless he goes to China for an extra zero.
Well, there you go. Everyone has a price. Any other news around?
Mate, Real Madrid this morning beat Granada 5-0, so that's 39 games in all competitions unbeaten. So that equals Barcelona's record. Barcelona in action tomorrow away at Villarreal, so it's 6-2. A 6-point buffer at the moment, but I think that buffer will go back to 3 points. And Bailey Wright, the soccer who made his debut this morning, actually, for Bristol City in the FA Cup. He left Preston North End. So from one league championship side to another, they drew 0-0 in the FA Cup against Fleetwood Town.
Good on you, Andy. Very comprehensive. We'll speak to you tomorrow on the Big Sports Breakfast and then next weekend as well on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend.
Absolutely, mate. And I love it when I can talk to you and there's blue skies out there. It's a beautiful day.
It's going to be a nice one. A hot one, but a nice one. Andy Pascal is there with all the latest in football. Those prices today, mate. Central Coast.
Yes.
At home, $6.50 outsiders. The draw at $5. And $1.40 Sydney FC. Alex Brosk will be at the heart of everything.
Just had a look at the figures before. If Sydney FC lose, the boys at tab.com.au will be having a big party because there is no money at all for Central Coast. It's all Sydney FC, so quite popular with multis as well, that particular shorty. And look, they've been backed as well at the $3.50 to win the comp. So, Tab, you can get on there, you can bet away, and maybe follow Andy sort of half lead. He makes a good point. I mean, the way the other top teams around them have played, it's exciting times.
I'm just hearing that Alex Brosk is out suspended, so he might be at the heart of getting the sandwiches ready, getting some drinks done. But apart from getting on the field, he won't be doing that today. Morning, Jimmy and Dave. No bigger cult hero than Peter. Perfect Brock. Regards, the bus driver.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolute star. Performance-wise and popularity with the people.
And I like this one from Michelle from Dubbo. Good morning, Michelle. She said, cold hero would have to be Ray Thomas.
True.
Of course. But seriously, Apache Cat. Remember the big bally face, Greg Urell?
Now, did Apache Cat... Oh, no, that was Chief De Beers that
Chief
won 20 times at one race course and couldn't win at
but
Eagle Farm or the other
did,
way around.
Apache Cat won the Doomben 10,000. I'll never forget the Apache Cat's run against Takeover Target. Winterbottom Stakes. They went to the line. It was a ding-donger. It was outstanding. A Takeover Target beating him. But no, look, great horse. And that's one thing about racing with sort of those horses and whatnot. They do get that cult following, some of them.
The new year will be packed with plenty of thrilling harness racing. Tuesday mornings, Greg Hayes brings you all the latest in On The Pace. Hear from trainers, drivers and industry officials. On The Pace, Tuesday mornings at 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
All covered, all ground, all beaten. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best, 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
G'day, Glenn McGrath here from the McGrath Foundation. Want to bring the magic of the Pink Test to your own community this summer? Host a Pink Stubbs Day with your club, your school or in your own backyard and help raise funds for McGrath breast cancers in communities across Australia. You can have fun while helping make life a little bit easier for families going through breast cancer. Find out how at pinkstubbsday.com.au. Together, we can make a difference.
On the line is Stuart, who found love earlier than expected.
That's right. Yeah, it was just after the third leg of the quaddie.
Go on.
Well, I was 3 from 3 and even had a roughie in there, but the last leg had me nervous, the quaddie killer. So I went for Tab's quaddie cash out and still came out in front.
That'll settle the nerves. If you love an early collect, cash out of your quaddie with Tab's quaddie cash out.
Tab, we love a bet. Terms and conditions at tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Look, we're very lucky at the moment to have Leo Schlink, News Limited's tennis writer, because he is up late in Doha. He's just been at the Novak Djokovic press conference after that very good win against Andy Murray, and he's been good enough to come on and help us preview what's going to be, again, another sizzling summer of tennis here in Australia. Good morning, Leo. Good night, Leo.
How are you, guys?
Yeah, really well. Look, appreciate you doing this. Tell us about the way that Novak played and the fact that, you know, Andy had been on this long winning streak, and the guy that we thought maybe is fading out got the job done.
Yeah, he certainly did, and this was absolutely a preview to what we can hope to see at the Australian Open. These two will be seated, of course, to meet in the Australian Open final, and if they play like they did tonight, it's going to take a lot from the rest of the field to stop them getting there, because they're outstanding. This is the best of three-set match. It went 2 hours, 54 minutes.
Wow.
And it was a really tight match. Novak Djokovic should have won it in straight sets. He served for the match at 5-4 in the second. Had 3 match points. Andy Murray got on top and went on a bit of a roll and looked like he had the match in his keeping. Just tremendous defence from both players. I think the key in the end was that Novak was slightly more attacking, and that was a difference. And great display by both of them. I'm sure right now they're both very sore. First hit out for the season.
Yeah.
They've got a week now to get ready for the start of the first Grand Slam.
Leo, Dave Stanley here with you. Interesting you mentioned that about Murray and Djokovic. I mean, at tab.com.au, they're miles ahead of everyone in the field. And do you think that's the way it will unfold there in Melbourne, and that market is justified?
I think their price is justified. I'm not sure about the gap down to the third and fourth favourites, because okay. I look at someone like Stan Wawrinka, and he's just so mercurial that, you know, he's got form in this area of coming out and just exploding, and we've seen him do it 3 times now at the Australian, the French, and also the US. He's someone who's capable of doing that. Raonic, he's going to be dangerous. If the conditions are going to be hot and quick in Melbourne, as expected. And then you look at guys on the way back, like Rafa and Roger. It's probably going to be too soon for those guys, but you just never know. They certainly have the quality to win, but these two right now, and the rankings show, the numbers don't lie, they are well in front of everybody else, and they've got great records at Melbourne Park, albeit Andy's haven't won there yet. He's lost 5 finals, and Novak comes back looking for title number 7. So when you look at the history of the event and the current form, these guys deserve their places in the market right up the top.
And we might be seeing Novak for a lot longer. I know you write in today's Sunday Telegraph about, you know, he looks at someone like Radek Stepanek, who's 38 years of age and still getting the job done, and he thinks, yeah, I could do that. It's interesting when, you know, there's distractions for Novak with family and so forth, Leo, that he's thinking that way.
Yeah, it just really underlined his attitude and what he wants to get out of the sport. And I think he's got designs. You know, he's got 12 majors. Roger's got 17. I think that he thinks that maybe the next 5 years he can still cash in. He'd only be 34 at that time, which is younger than Roger is now. And, you know, Roger last year was getting to the semi-finals of the big events. So Djokovic no doubt is thinking that way. And he just loves what he does. And he is one guy, you know, one of the reasons where always hanging around late for Novak is his recovery takes priority over everything else, and he'll go off now and get things done. And he takes great pride in what he does, and he has every intention of playing until he's close to 40, obviously notwithstanding a major injury.
Leo, this women's draw is going to be fascinating to see how it all unfolds, especially with the way Serena played in New Zealand. She's 350 favourite, but also Pliskova doing well there in Brisbane at $9. It's very competitive this year, and I think it's going to be, or do you think it's going to be that way throughout the whole year and for all the Grand Slams?
I think so. On the women's side, it's really up to Serena now to reassert herself, because she missed all that tennis after the US Open, decided not to play, and then the IPTL, she didn't go to that as well. And that is usually the way she comes into Australia. This time went through Auckland, made 88 unforced errors, got beaten, won one match over there. Not the ideal preparation. She'll hope that familiarity is her best friend in Melbourne, because she's done so well there before, won it six times. If she plays her best, she wins. It's as simple as that. But the question is, can she get back to that form? And then you've got Angelique Kerber, the defending champion. She had a decent run in Brisbane. Pliskova is someone that, you know, did really well at the US Open last year. And then you've got people like Chibokova, who won the tour finals. I think this year's field on the women's side is as wide open as we've seen it for a while. And that's, you know, with Serena there with the big asterisks, because if she plays her best, $3.50 is good value.
Fourth round is the best that Sam Stosur has ever done. It's her now coming into her 15th Australian Open. I thought there was some... I always get concerned about what you hear from Sam, but I think there's been a little bit of a change in that way, Leo. Do you get the sense as well that she's more comfortable about her tennis game and she's been talking about playing for longer? It's never seemed to be the struggle that it has been in the past with Sam.
Yeah, I think she's working really hard to sort of release that pressure valve a bit, and that's always been her problem at home. Wimbledon just doesn't suit her because of the way the grass matches up with her game. But you look at the other two Grand Slams, the French Open and the US Open, she does really well there. You look at the pace of the US Open compared to Australia, there's not that much difference. And, you know, I guess with the way the ball bounces, etc., this is a Grand Slam where Sam should be doing really well. And obviously she's in the past felt that pressure a bit. It's good now that she can say to people, listen, I have no intention of going anywhere for at least 2 or 3 years, so the retirement issue is not one that you should be considering. She just needs to, with Josh Eagle, her new coach, to just concentrate on the business, because with her serve forehand combination, she's as good as anyone going out there, and she showed that when she beat Serena that time. And she's younger than Serena. She's playing at home. There's no reason why she shouldn't be doing really well, better than fourth round at least.
And physically, she's always superbly prepared.
She is, and she works really, really hard. The work ethic there is no question about it. And, you know, she gets on a roll at the Australian Open. You know, she had a tough draw in Brisbane with Muguruza. She gets on a roll at the Australian Open, she can do a lot of damage.
Yeah, and I think everyone would love to see that. She's on the tough side of the draw at the Sydney International. She's alongside, well, Daria Gavrilova, but also Angelique Kerber. So that's going to make it tougher. Leo, you're up late. We do appreciate it. Thank you for your time, and I'm sure the listeners appreciate it as well.
My pleasure, anytime.
Leo Schlink there, News Limited's tennis writer, and as I mentioned, over there late in Doha, staying up for the Novak Djokovic interview, and it was good enough to take our call, so we do appreciate that. 1353 53 is the open line number. It's quiz time, Dave.
Yes.
Stand by. It's a lot of fun, and sometimes it goes to script. Call now if you want to be a part of it. 1353 53.
It's a kind of magic. Your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio, is raring to go when the Gold Coast comes alive Saturday, January 14, for Magic Millions Race Day.
But it's all Capitalist, well clear, and Capitalist will brain them, the favourite bolts in the Magic Millions.
From Tuesday, BSB Extra, Racing HQ and the National Racing Service brings you daily updates on the Magic Millions 2-year-old Classic and 3-year-old Guineas. Then from Wednesday, some of the best pedigree yearlings from around Australasia go under the hammer. Your Magic Millions headquarters, Sky Sports Radio.
It's all happening for the Kiwis here today. They took the Brisbane Cup and now they take the JJ Atkins with Sacred Elixir.
Taraka graduates were unrelenting in their success last season.
The Kiwis have plundered the Derby and the Oaks. It's all about the Kiwis and the three-year-old staying ranks.
With over 1,300 yearlings on offer, see you from January 30 to February 5 at Karaka 2017. New Zealand Bloodstock, where winning begins.
Well, Lionel, our Everything Must Go sale is about to go.
No, it isn't, Mum. It's still all go.
There's more?
Yes, more. Still more TVs, fridges, washers, more vacuums, aircons, coffee machines. They all must go at Bingley.
I could go a coffee.
There's no time for coffee, Mum. Everything's got to go.
But only for a few more days.
Everything in our online catalogue at bingley.com.au.
It ends on January 8th.
The Everything Must Go sale, last days at Bingley.
Excludes Asko and Miller.
G'day, Glenn McGrath here from the McGrath Foundation. Want to bring the magic of the Pink Test to your own community this summer? Host a Pink Stubbs Day with your club, your school, or in your own backyard, and help raise funds for McGrath breast care nurses in communities across Australia. You can have fun while helping make life a little bit easier for families going through breast cancer. Find out how at pinkstumpsday.com.au. Together, we can make a difference.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Just running Dave Stanley through the quiz and how it operates. This could be anything. Even with Ray and I, who know how the quiz operates back to front, stuff it up on a regular basis. 13-53-53, the open line number. All right, let's go to the players here. Noel is on the line. G'day, Noel.
G'day, mate. How are you? Happy New Year to you, boys.
Thanks, Noel. Same to you, mate. You're playing for me today, so all the very best to you.
Who's this one?
This is Jimmy.
Jimmy, g'day. Okay, mate.
All right, so you've got the VMAX double pass.
Okay.
Is what you're playing for. Question one, who did Melbourne City play in the A-League on Friday night? Was it Wellington Phoenix, the Western Sydney Wanderers, or Perth Glory?
Wanderers.
Oh, take your time if you want, Noel. Question two, who do the Brisbane Bullets play in the NBL tomorrow? Is it the Perth Wildcats, Melbourne United, or Illawarra Hawks?
I heard it somewhere. Wildcats?
Yes. Well, hang on a minute.
That was...
There's the stuff up that we were waiting for. And
yeah, I know.
Funnily enough, Noel, it didn't come from Dave or I.
No.
Hamish, the panel operator, he's so sprightly too. He came in here, he's had a couple of weeks off, and he was ready to go.
That's all right.
A little too early there. Question three.
Yeah.
Who do the Bulldogs play in round one of the 2017 NRL season?
Oh, geez.
Is it the Storm, the Tigers, or the Sharks?
It won't be the Storm. I'll go for the Sharkies.
It would have been the Storm. In fact, it is the Storm. Playing at Belmore Sports Ground at the new 6 p.m. time slot on a Friday. So two from three. Stay on the line, Noel, because right now Davey's got EJ trying to knock you off.
Good morning, EJ, fellow Queenslander.
Oh, here we go.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Jimmy. How are you, boys?
Very good, mate. You're up in Ipswich?
Yes, I am, mate, yep.
Beautiful. How's
Sorry
it
about that, EJ.
No. Good part of the world, Jimmy. Oh,
exactly,
turn it up.
Exactly.
We're surrounded. We're surrounded, EJ. We're surrounded. Now, two out of three was Noel, so we need a clean sweep here. Question number one, who did the Newcastle Jets play in the A-League last night? Was it the Brisbane Roar, Adelaide United, or Melbourne Victory?
Brisbane.
Giddy up. Question two. Who do the Adelaide 36ers play in the NBL today? Is it the New Zealand Breakers, the Cairns Taipans, or the Sydney Kings?
Cairns.
No, they play the Breakers today. Now,
just out of interest, EJ, what are you up to at the moment, mate?
I'm on a walk, actually. I walk probably about 8Ks every morning.
Oh, right, eh?
Something.
There you go. Good on you. You want to take your little mate Dave Stanley with you?
Yeah. Don't know about 8Ks. Can we just start off with a couple of hundred metres? Now, this is for the tiebreakers. You need to get this one, EJ. Now, who do the Dragons play in round one of the 2017 NRL season? Do they kick off with the Cowboys, the Panthers, or the Roosters?
I'd say the Panthers.
Oh, something.
EJ.
All right.
What about your inflection on Panthers there?
No,
was
turn it
a
up.
Little different?
Mate, the bloke's walking 8Ks. There was no inflections.
You sure?
Right.
I thought there was a clue within
the So what
clue
happens
there?
In the tiebreak? You got me up and about.
I'll
now.
Tell you what, you ask EJ. Yeah, you ask EJ this question. We get his answer, then we go back to Noel, and then we work out who's closest. Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right, here we go. EJ, tiebreaker question. This is for the two VMAX passes. What is the current world ranking of Australian golfer Minji Lee?
36.
What are you laughing at, EJ?
Yeah.
It's a legitimate question. Noel, tiebreaker question.
Yes.
What is the current world ranking of Australian golfer Minji Lee?
Minji Lee, I think she's about four.
Oh, hang on. Yeah, we're just doing our numbers here. Quick mathematics. 13. Right. Congratulations, Noel.
Ah.
Thank you, mate.
You're our winner. She's, in fact, 17 in the world, Min Ji Lee. 17 in the world. So
can we send EJ something? He's on an 8K walk. We'll send him something. The diary.
No.
No, mate, turn it up.
It's all New South Wales.
Getting, look.
Oh, David.
The producer's pointing. Jeremy, thank you, Jez. See, Jez is kind-hearted.
Well, hang on.
You know, it's only sport, Jimmy.
You know what? Good on you, EJ. You've picked up a diary for losing. So there you go. Noel, you've won. So
thanks, mate. So at least this will give me a Happy New Year present. I'm laid off in bed at the moment. I had a nasty accident at New Year's Eve, a big, big accident, and came home after New Year's Eve, and I crashed into my glass panelling. So,
oh, you're kidding.
I was in hospital for 4 days. So I ripped my arm. I've had between 40 to 50 stitches, major surgery. So, yeah.
That sounds very serious, mate. Yeah.
It was, mate. I was sort of, if you know what I mean, I was sort of on the other side. I was sort of nearly gone. The ambulance didn't turn up another 10 minutes. I was basically gone.
Oh, wow.
The amount of blood I lost.
Mate, I know this is only a small part of that, but hopefully you can get yourself out to the VMAX Theatre at some stage and enjoy that movie experience, courtesy of us here at the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, and, of course, Event Cinemas out there at Parramatta, Prakash and the team.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, good on you. And you're out at Pennant Hills too, so maybe you can go to the actual Parramatta Theatre.
Hope you get better soon.
It'd be a good one. Yeah, absolutely. Get well soon. Good on you, Noel. Congratulations on that. So just marking down in my book here, overall, of course, it all starts again in 2017. And thanks very much, Ray Thomas, for the carton of Pure Blonde that I was able to win at the end of last year.
I think we've got to talk to Ray about this. This is, the fact that he wouldn't even allow the sports year diary to...
hang on, it went through. It went through.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, there we go.
We'll chat about this in the break, I think.
All right. Well, you chat about it, mate. I probably won't be listening, but you chat about it, mate. 1353, the open line number. Scratching's coming up very shortly. But first, we're going to go back to the callers with our talk topic today. We're looking for the cult heroes. The SMS are flying in.
Yeah, they are.
Davey, a cult hero, Brad Hogg.
Yep.
Eagle-eyed
the tongue.
Bill. Yeah. I'll tell you what, there was another one there last night, too. Trent Lawford.
Mm.
Did you see him? The big fella. He's a bit of a cult hero, 1353-53. H is on the line. Hello, H.
Hey, yama mate, meow mate.
How are you, mate?
Good, mate, good.
That's good. You got a cult hero for us?
I got a couple of names written down here for you.
Yeah, fire away.
The greatest of all time, Ali Boumaye.
Yes, Ali Boumaye.
Yeah, that mean Ali killing.
Is that what it means?
Yeah, that's what it means.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Ali Boumaye.
Boumaye. That's famous, of course, the Rumble in the Jungle.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's the other one, H?
I've got two names for you.
Yeah.
One of the greatest fellows that I ever watched played football, and one of the toughest was Ray Price.
Ray Price, absolutely. There's a statue of him out. Well, I don't know what's happened to it now that they're pulling down Pertec Stadium.
They've surely got to relocate.
They would have saved the statue, but he's definitely one age.
And I got two more for you. Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
When he fought Andre the Giant.
Yes, Hulk Hogan. Yes.
Yeah. And the last one is Gun Finn, the Gun to Windy Craig.
Oh.
Outstanding.
Great nomination.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, mate, because I listen to a lot of music and listen to radio all the time. There's only one song that I ever heard about any horse, and that was Gun Thin, the Gun of Windy Grey.
Yes, that's exactly right.
I don't know if they had a song about Maccabi David or something.
No, there's not. What was the name of the horse that Johnny Tapp had a song about? Good on you, H. Great call, mate. In fact, H, stay on the line because we're going to send you out a diary courtesy of Sportsy.com.au. Hondo Grattan? Was it Hondo Grattan? So Alice is just saying, Hondo Grattan. So there you go. Well, let's go to Alice now with the scratchings. And you can tell you may be seeing a few bars of Hondo Grattan. Good morning, Al.
Good morning, Jim. Racing today at Cowra.
No singing.
Where the weather is fine, the track's rated a good 4. The runners in the true position, we have 19 scratchings. Race 1, take out 4, Boots and All, race 1, number 4. Race 2, scratch at 3, Kalzar Prince. 5, Prying. 6, Media Vita and 18, Paris Carver. 3, 5, 6 and 18 from race 2. Race 3, scratch 6, Chatteries. 11, Sister in Awe and 15, Great Body. 6, 11 and 15 from race 3. Race 4, take out 5, Handful of Aces. Race 4, number 5. Race 5, take out 7, So Joyous. Race 5, number 7. Race 6, scratch 3, Quietly Brilliant. 7, Chasing Charlie. 12, Honour the Moment and 13, Yellowtail. 3, 7, 12 and 13 from race 6. Race 7, scratch 9, Force of Magic. Race 7, number 9. Race 8, take out 4, Atalia. 8, Alone with You. 12, One Sun and 16, Elriz. That's 4, 8, 12 and 16 out of the last today at Cowra. Racing is also at Coffs Harbour, where the weather is fine. The track's rated a soft 7. The rail's in the true position, 15 scratchings. Race 1, take out 9, Youngstown. Race 1, number 9. Race 2, take out 7, Put Your Hands Up. 13, 1, Mississippi. And 18, Snappy. 7, 13 and 18 from race 2. Race 3 is clear. Race 4, take out 1, Best Dressed Lady. 2, Gresslin. And 8, Clipperholic. 1, 2 and 8 from race 4. Race 5, scratch 2, Twilight Charade. 5, Radiologist. 6, Waterboy. And 10, Hope Island. 2, 5, 6 and 10 from race 5. Race 6, scratch 7, Emperor of Oz. And 12, Hide the Moon. 7 and 12 from race 6. And now the last day at Coffs, scratch number 2, Command Hunter. Race 7, number 2. We also have a late scratching. It's in race 2. Take out number 15, Last Spin. Race 2, number 15, a late today at Coffs. That's the New South Wales scratchings, boys.
Good on you, Al. Thanks for that. Still would have preferred a couple of bars of Hondo Grattan. Anyway, now, Davey, this is where Ray Thomas tips our listeners into a winner. So can you help out here?
Yeah, I like one on the sunny coast today, so probably listeners just put a line through this one and just forget about it. But horse called Stole the Show.
Right.
It is race 5, number 4 at the sunny coast. Fixed odds will be out soon. tab.com.au.
Good on you, Davey.